Sicken and So Die by Simon Brett. To Michael. Chapter 1. Things were actually going rather well for Charles Paris. Basically, it was a matter of work. He had work. He was in work. He was working. For an actor, a job is the switch that turns the personality on to full power. Without it, Charles Paris existed. He had all the components of himself, his cynicism, his gloom, his apologetic lusts, his drinking, his deflated air of defeat. But with a job, all those elements fused, and he was energized, sustained by a galvanic charge that even incorporated optimism. What was more, he was doing good work. He was playing a good part in what promised to be a good production of a good play, Twelfth Night by William Shakespeare. Plays don't come a lot better than that. Nor, for a slightly frayed, unravelling actor in his late 50s, do parts come a lot better than Sir Toby Belch. Playing a major Shakespearean role made Charles feel that perhaps his career had come back on course, or perhaps finally come on course. The theatre offers no obvious career structure. Indeed, its ups and downs make investing in the National Lottery look a secure bet. But there are certain milestones to which all actors aspire. To play Sir Toby Belch in one's late 50s is a necessary notch carved on the bedpost of a career, a qualification which opens up the possibility of a Henry IV, a Prospero, or even the ultimate prize of a Lear in one's 60s. Charles had played big parts in Shakespeare before, but the time or the production had never been right. He had been too young when cast as Macbeth, badly directed as Henry V, and, as for his leading role in Julius Caesar, well, even Charles himself agreed with the estimation of the Lancashire Evening Post that here was a Mark Antony to whom even Vincent van Gogh wouldn't have lent an ear. But this Twelfth Night...